under construction. Growth, everybody say growth is a process. Galatians chapter 5, if you have your Bibles. How many have your Bibles? Raise your Bible up. Yeah. And if it's on your device, your phone or whatever. I don't know why they call them phones, because it's just a phone's just a little part of that thing these days. But when I was a little kid, we used to sing that song, read your Bible, pray every day, pray every day, pray every day. And we'd hold our Bible up. We'd go, read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow, 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 and you'll grow, grow, grow. But isn't it true? Read your Bible. I just need the band back. Galatians chapter 5. New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians. Chapter 5, verse 13. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge in the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. Serve one another humbly and in love. There's a challenge for all of us. Verse 14, for the entire law is fulfilled. You remember what Jesus said? He said, I didn't come to do away with the law, but I came to fulfill the law. The entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. There's a challenge for you. I mean, that's a challenge for all of us. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit. In other words, he's talking about the Holy Spirit of God that lives in you, because your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. When you invite Christ to come into your heart, the God comes and he lives in you. The Holy Spirit lives in you. And he says, the flesh, what we want in the flesh is contrary to what God wants in the Spirit. Does anybody here ever struggle with the flesh and the Spirit? What about the rest of y'all? Y'all perfect or what? Man. It's always a struggle. And the Spirit, what is contrary to flesh, they are in conflict with each other. And everybody said amen. Amen. So that you are not to do whatever you want. It's interesting. First he said that you can have freedom. Then he says you can't do what you want. What he's actually saying is the law will make you do what when you live according to the flesh, you are in bondage to the law. But when you live according to the Spirit, you are free to do what the Spirit has asked you to do, the freedom, because you won't want to do the things that separate you from God, the things that he calls sin. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. For the acts of the flesh are obvious. This is interesting. He says the acts of the flesh are obvious, and then he tells you what they are in case it's not obvious to you. Sexual immorality. In case you don't know what that is, that's sex out of marriage. Sex in marriage is cool. Sex out of marriage is immorality. So it's crazy these days where you got to define sexual immorality, because a lot of things that are non-negotiables with God, our culture has made negotiable. It's still not negotiable. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred. Discord. That means gossip and talking about people behind their back. Discord, causing divisions. Jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, those who live like this will, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Did you hear that? Those who live like this, who have found these things to be acceptable in their lives, those who have decided that they will negotiate these things with God, they will not inherit the kingdom of God. As long as you accept these things in your life, that doesn't mean that you're not going to struggle with some of these things, but they can never be accepted in your acceptable behavior to you. If you didn't want the truth, you should have went to a foo-foo church this morning. But the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit inside of you is love, joy, peace, forbearance. What that means is that you're going to forbear, that you're going to be patient with those who aren't as far along in the Lord as you are. You're going to love them in the middle of their problems like you want them to love you in the middle of your problems. Forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Faithfulness, that means full of faith, trusting God in your life. Gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. In other words, you can do all those things all you want. Just get carried away with kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness. Over the years, it's interesting, I've been challenged to grow in my walk with God. When I've been tempted to be stagnant, there's always a challenge to growth. We can never give away something that we don't possess. I can never give you peace in your life if I don't exhibit peace in my life. I can't love you until I have love in my life. I can't forbear with you and be patient with you through your stuff. If I don't have patience in my life, and it's the same for you, you have to be patient with me. We have to be patient with each other. Isn't it something that we want other people to be perfect in their walk with God, and we expect them to have it all under control when we don't have it all under control? Don't you? So true. This church and its legacy is a direct result of God's favor and God's blessings and God's grace. This church will go on with or without me. God's church will go on with or without you, because the church is built on the solid foundation of God's word. And that's why we value God's word. That's why we believe everything that is in here. And if it's in here, we're going to stand on the word of God. And if it's not in here, we're not going to touch it with a 10-foot pole, because this is life and death. And God has brought life to us, and he wants us to be faithful to him in every area of our lives. We must all reflect the character of Jesus more and more. I always realize that I have a personal need to grow closer to the likeness of Jesus every day. You might say, well, I'm glad to hear that, preacher. I'm glad that you want to get closer to God. Every church needs a pastor who is growing. We should all embrace the need of our own spiritual growth, both individually and corporately as the body of Christ. I will say this, that my growth does not automatically mean your growth, nor does your growth automatically mean my growth. We are individually responsible for our own personal growth. If you are not growing, it's not your wife's fault. It's not your husband's fault. It's not the preacher's fault. Look in the mirror. My purpose today is to convince you to set your own spiritual growth goals. It's important because we are to all grow up as disciples of Jesus. We are all to gain spiritual maturity. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. It says, like newborn babies crave spiritual, pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted and seen that the Lord is good. Now that you've tasted what the Lord, that the Lord is good. It says, as babies crave pure spiritual milk. Now, at some point in time, if you've ever had a baby, at some point in time, you're going to start giving that baby like solid food, and you're going to he comes out and he don't have no teeth, so he's just drinking milk, and then when he gets little teeth, then you can get some more solid food in there. God's got all that figured out, by the way, and he just lets us kind of, you know, he's got the process figured out. Baby gets a little bit older, starts eating a little more meat, and then when you get my age, you eat a lot of meat because you love meat. But it's interesting to me in the church circle that we can grow physically, and we understand that as you, if you're 2 or 3 years old, or whenever you're a little baby and you're drinking milk and you're nursing, that's just perfectly natural. But I want to say this, if you have been a Christian for 40 years and you're still on the binky, you got a problem. And it's true, is it not? I don't know. I'm sure there's nobody like that in this church, but it's interesting to me how we accept it, and it becomes acceptable for us to gain a certain level of maturity in Christ, and we just say, well, that's enough for me. And to get involved, too involved for that, that's just a little bit over the edge. That's why we just go to that bigger church. We just want to blend in. This is for all you blenders. And it's not so much. Listen, I'm not saying this with any selfish motives whatsoever. I'm saying this for your benefit. If you want to be blessed, you must learn how to be a blessing to somebody. And get you, whenever you're hurting, if you will find somebody else to be a blessing to, then your hurt and your own personal pain will go away because you're blessing somebody else. Amen. Now, I got to keep moving here. I got a friend. Lives up there in North Texas. His name is Alan Bach, and he's a world champion team roper. We were at a rodeo Bible camp several years back, and there was a boy there that was roping, and Alan was helping him, trying to help him learn how to rope correctly, because Alan had won 3 world champion team roping. That means he's the best in the world, like the whole world, at team roping. And this boy made this statement to Alan. After Alan told him how to rope, this boy says, well, this is the way I do it. Boy, we get that in church. Isn't it something how... It's like Caleb, whenever he was 5 years old, we was roping the dummy, and I was teaching him how to swing his rope, and he roped that dummy, and he caught that dummy the first time, and he went over there and sat down, and I was still roping. I thought he was tired. I said, well, Caleb, aren't you going to rope the dummy anymore? He said, no. He said, I already know how. Listen, I don't know if you know it or not, but sitting in church doesn't make you a Christian. No more than sitting in a garage is going to make you a car. Or getting in a barn is going to make you a cow. This is not just a Sunday morning thing. This is a lifestyle. Whenever you say, Jesus, please forgive me of my sins. I invite you into my heart. I invite you into my life. What you are actually doing is giving up your own personal rights. I don't know if we'll get anybody back next Sunday, but that's the truth. You might say, well, preacher, those are pretty strong words. Did you know that God, because he create, we believe in creation around here. We don't believe in the Big Bang thing. We believe that, we don't think that once you was a little fish swimming in the sea and then you or an amoeba and then a fish swimming in the sea and then you was a monkey hanging by the in a tree and then you wound up being a doctor with a PhD. We don't think about stuff like that. But what we do believe is that God created you, and because he made you and he created you, he actually knows you better than you know yourself. He knows you. And I'm 60, whatever. And I'm still learning. My goodness, I'm still learning how to be Randy Weaver, the one that God created me to be. I'm still challenged with that. But one thing I am at peace in knowing is that he knows me better than I know myself. And if I will follow him, I will have love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, temperance. Against these things, there is no such law. And I'm a happier man when I'm living by the Spirit than I am when I'm in bondage to the sin that will bring death to me eternally. Yes. Right. Gracious. I don't need my notes. I haven't used them yet this morning anyway. When we was out on the road, rodeoing and doing church services at the rodeos, after Dara and I got married, we had a pretty good sized trailer, and I was really tired. I said, "Dara, you need to drive this truck." And she drove it, and it was snowing. She did a great job, but later on we bought a bigger trailer, and she didn't want to pull it, and I was tired again. And I was like, "Dara, you gotta drive, baby." Man, she says, "This, I don't know." I said, "You can do it." And do we have any backseat drivers? Raise your hand if you're a backseat driver. Some of y'all that, this is church. Raise your hand if you're a backseat driver. Okay. I'm a backseat driver. And so we're in this Walmart parking lot. And "Dara, you can just kind of ease out of here and get on." That road going to Amarillo. What is that? 287. Well, she cut a corner a little bit too quick, and she come over the curb. I'm like, "Dara, you're going to knock that septic tank off that trailer." And then she hit another curb, and I'm like, "Dara." And she hit one more curb, and then she stopped it, threw it in park. I'm through, and she got out of the truck. She said, "I'm not driving any further." Huh? She only remembers two curbs. Okay, for the sake of the story, two curbs. I had to drive. But I'm not telling you the whole story because it really wasn't funny at that time at all, because of the way I was being a backseat driver. Well, since then, like, she doesn't mind driving, pulling big long trailers at all. She's good at it. In fact, she knows how to do it. But for quite a while, she wouldn't do it. But what happens when we get our feelings hurt, or what happens whenever others become critical of us, if we're not careful, it will stifle who God created us to be. And we can go through the rest of our lives, but to her credit, as having character, she got behind the wheel. And to my credit, I kept my mouth shut better now. Honestly. But really, isn't it all about learning? isn't it really about, because I mean, like with moms and dads and kids, I mean, listen, your mom and dad doesn't have it all figured out. No, the kids said. All five of y'all. Kids don't have it figured out. We're in this thing trying to do the best job we can. Amen? Amen. But my point in this is to grow and not allow yourself to be inhibited or stifled or shut down by what people say about you or by what people say to you, because at the end of the day, God is for you. And if God is for you, who can be against you? Because it's not about people, it's more about Him. But here's what it says. It says the whole law is wrapped up in this one commandment: love your neighbor. You're going to spend the rest of your life trying to do that. You spend the rest of your life trying to love your neighbor. My aunt May, this was years and years ago. They would bring her little babies from the orphanage. They had a lot of orphanages back then, and a lot of times they didn't have time to pick them kids up and hold them. And they brought a little baby to Aunt May that had a problem. And what it's called is failure to thrive syndrome. The baby quits growing. The baby, listen to this, the baby quits crying. And the baby quits eating. And they brought Aunt May this little bitty baby, and they said, don't get too attached to this little baby because he's probably not going to make it. My Aunt May, she was like, if you want a picture she held this, and she's kind of a fluffy woman. You know what I mean? That little baby just fit right in there real good. And she rocked that little baby and coo to him, sing to him, and she gave him little spoonfuls of milk because he wouldn't eat, wouldn't swallow. And he began to just take a little bit of nourishment at a time. And it was actually months. And she had laid the little baby down to take a nap. And she said, it's the sweetest thing she'd ever heard in her life. She said she heard that baby cry for the first time. She said, I've never been so blessed just to hear a baby cry. Now, y'all ladies that have babies that are healthy, you're like, I wish they just shut up. But the reason is because they're blessed, and you've blessed them, and they're healthy. But I want to say this to you. Come on. I want somebody in this room to hear me. If you're here today and you're here, you've just kind of like the song where you come in and you kind of hope nobody sees you. You're just so blessed to be in the presence of the Lord, but you have failure to thrive. You failed to thrive in your walk with Christ, but you're just hanging on. You don't talk about God. You don't even pray anymore. I want to tell you today, God loves you. He wants to hold you. He wants to give you His love. He has your best interest at heart. And yeah. Now, for those of you who are quiet and you've been in church for 40 years and you're still on the bottle, grow up. Grow up. Do something for God, because the fruit of the Spirit The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Begin to produce fruit in your life, in your marriage, with your kids, in church. Find some place where you can give something away that you've never given before. If you've ever made a vow, I'll never work in another church, find some place to do something in the church. Some of y'all do things in the community. That's amazing, and it needs to be done. Find someplace, someone that you can bless. Find somebody that needs help and go help them. We've got life groups building houses for a lady right now. I wish I could just tell you all of the things that are going on in this church. It's just crazy. Giving meat to ministries. We probably gave away 10,000 pounds of meat last year to feed people that are having ministries that really have a hard time affording meat. Y'all have done that. There's always something to do. But first of all, God wants you to heal up and then do something. Amen? Yes, thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for your love. Help us, Lord, because we understand that everybody grows at different paces, and we accept that. We think that that's great. Lord, so grow us all in this auditorium. Everybody watching online, help us to grow and mature and not allow the painful things in life that have been cut off of our body. That help us, Lord, to grieve and to hurt, but also to move on and to be healthy people. In Jesus' name. I'd like for you to keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed for just a second. This morning, if you've never invited Jesus to come into your heart, or maybe if you have and you just haven't been living for him, the first touch point for God, for peace in your life, is to accept him as your personal Savior. If you've never invited him to come into your heart, or maybe if you have and you just haven't been living for him, simply by raising your hand, say, "Preacher, I need Jesus in my heart. I need to make him the Lord of my life." Slip your hand up high. We want to put a Bible in it. Thank you so much. We're going to put a Bible in your hand. I'm so proud of you guys. Bless you so much. Anybody else? God's doing a work in our hearts. Anybody else? Thank you. You can put your hands down once you get your Bibles. Thank you. Yeah, thank you, partner. Thank you so much. Thank you. Raise your hand up high. Don't be ashamed. We don't want to miss anybody. Thank you. Anybody else? Anybody else? Preacher, that's me. If you raise your hand, would you mind looking up at me? Would you mind coming up and let me pray with you? Back in the back. Come on over here. Back over here. I'm proud of you, buddy. Thank you. Stay right here. Let me pray with you. We got some more coming. Back over here. That's a good day. I'm proud of you, man. That's what it's all about right here. Yeah. I'm gonna give you a hug. It's okay. It'll be all right. Y'all stay there a minute. We're gonna hug. It's all right. It's okay. This is Crybaby Church. We love you. Bless you, buddy. Proud of you. Look at these guys. Love you, buddy. I'm so proud of y'all. Sweet, sweet, sweet stuff. I kind of feel like there's somebody else out there that needs to come on up here. Well, I don't have a lot of time. We got another service coming, but you better need to get up. Come on. All right, we'll work on you next week. Here's what the Bible says. It says, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our hearts that God's raised him from the dead, that we'll be saved. It's really that simple. We try to complicate things, but it's not complicated. I just want to help y'all pray. And if y'all just repeat after me, mean it in your heart. will help you receive Christ. Just say this, repeat after me. Y'all help us. Just say, Dear Lord Jesus,
Dear Lord Jesus,
thank you for loving me.
Thank you for dying on the
cross
for my sins.
Lord, I am a sinner.
Please forgive me.
Invite you into my heart.
Invite you into my life.
From this day forward,
I give my life to you.
Help me to read my Bible,
to pray,
show up for church,
and get baptized.
I love you, Jesus.
Teach me to love you more.
In Jesus' name,
amen.
You know, I want to tell you guys something.
Before Jesus went to the cross, he bore stripes on his back, bones and metal on his back, 39 stripes. And the scripture says, by his stripes, we are healed. And the healing that you feel right now, the healing that you all are feeling is because of his sacrifice for you. And it says, pray if there's any sick among you. And it's not just talking about physically sick, it's talking about spiritually. But it says if they've committed any sin, it'll be forgiven of them. So when you walk out of here today, the feelings that you feel right now, sooner or later you won't feel it. But we don't live by what we feel. Y'all with me? We live by the facts and faith in God. And the fact is that you guys have committed your life to Christ. And he said this. He said that if we will come to him, he will in no wise cast us out. That he's not willing that any should perish. That's the fact. But that all should come to a place of repentance, what you all have done today. So the healing that you have and the healing that you've experienced this morning is the greatest gift that you'll ever have in your life. Amen. Take care of it and cherish it. And don't let the devil lie to you and say, oh, you know, la-di-da-di, you know. Don't listen to the devil. He's a liar and he's stupid, okay? Love you guys. I'm proud of you guys. Go visit these guys over here for just a second, if you don't mind. So proud of you, buddy. Thank you. Bless you, buddy. Y'all stand with me. I just see that old devil down there going, I hate that church. It's all right. We hate the devil. It's okay to hate the devil, by the way. How many need to search your soul and figure out again, go back and let God show you the plans that he has for you? Raise your hand. You got to get back to God and just kind of get some things straight, squared up. I'm just so proud of y'all. Yeah. Let me pray for you. Raise your hand if you do. And all everybody else that didn't raise your hand, raise your hands for these other people too. Let's just pray for everybody. Lord, bless our hearts, Lord. Give us wisdom. Give us strength, oh God. Lord, help us to be involved in what you are doing. Lord, when we see you move, that we will be a part of what's moving, that moves your hand. We want to be in the middle of that, oh God, as a church, as individuals, as married folk, as families, oh God. Help us to pay attention, Lord, to what you are blessing and to bless what you bless, oh God. Be faithful to what you are faithful to and understand it through the power of your word. We ask these things in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. Our prayer team's up here. If we need special prayer, sure do love y'all. Go in victory.